Right, let's pray before we look at this very serious passage that Jesus speaks about. Lord, this is your word, and so we need to hear your words. We need to hear right from you. We need the people in Abbey Wood to hear right from you as well this morning. Please be with them, be with Jeff, as he declares your word, your truths. Open our eyes, open our ears, but Lord God, open and deal with our hearts. Would you challenge us? Would you help us to listen to these words of warning that come most lovingly from King Jesus, our Savior? Amen. Well, if we can have the first slide, please. Warnings are there for our protection. If anyone had known on Monday night that the bomber was on his way to do what he did at Manchester Arena, everyone would have done anything and everything they could to warn people. Why? To save lives. Warnings in life, whatever they are, whether you scream at a child because you see them going to a busy road, whether a fire alarm's going off, whether a doctor's having a serious consultation with an alcoholic, they're there to warn people, to warn us for our protection and our help. And this is just what Jesus is doing here in these verses. You've got them printed on the back of your outline. But it's not quite like the warnings I've just spoken of. Because the warning that Jesus gives here is far more important. You see, all those other warnings are to save people's lives. Jesus' warning is about saving someone's, maybe your, soul, potentially. He's talking about saving you from hell, potentially. As Rich taught last week, Jesus tells us these things because he's the most loving person who has ever lived. And this week, this section, Jesus warns us with such clarity not to be deceived by false prophets. And it's so interesting, it comes straight after Jesus' section on the two roads in life. The very one of which, one of those roads, you are on right now. All of us are on one of those roads. You're either on the broad road this morning that leads to destruction, or you're on the narrow road that leads to life. And remember last week, Rich never mentioned there was a third road. There is no in-between road with these broad and narrow roads. There never has been an in-between road. There never will be an in-between road. We're all heading on one road. We're going to life or we're going to destruction. There's no sitting on the fence when it comes to God and Jesus. We're either going his way, the narrow way, or we're going our way and everyone else's way, the broad way. Rich called it my way motorway, where you can do on that broad road what you like, when you like, how you like, with who you like, as long as you know it leads to destruction. So Jesus, who loves us more than we can even imagine, he warns us not to be deceived by false prophets, false teachers, because they, if we listen to them, they're going to cause us to turn to the broad road. So just four very simple things about false prophets. First of all, what defines them? Let's have a look at the next slide. What is Jesus talking about when he says, beware of false teachers, false prophets? What actually is one? Well, we've seen again and again on Jesus' King's speech here that he's always building on what God has already said in the Old Testament. And tragically, God's people had experienced their fair share of false teachers. So there were false teachers back in Old Testament days. There were false teachers, Jesus was saying, in his day, New Testament times. And there will be false teachers, do you know what, today, in our times. Bible prophets were far more as well than just predicting the future. A Bible prophet Their primary role was, and still is today, is to teach and to preach and reveal God's truth. That's what I am doing now with God's help. So you are listening to a prophet. And you need to make sure that you're not listening to a false prophet. Jeremiah, the godly prophet, wrote about and defined these false prophets as those who claimed to be speaking in the name of the Lord, but actually, they were liars. Let's see the next slide. Claiming to speak for God, but actually leading people astray. And if the broad road has got the vast majority of people on it, we have to assume, wait for it, this is big. We have to assume that most people, even in London today, the majority of people, could well be listening right now to false prophets. Now, I know that's a massive claim, but I believe it tragically to be true, and I'll say more about it later. Jeremiah said that they prophesied these false teachers. They prophesied peace when there was no peace. They prophesied peace, and everyone loved what they were saying. They told the people nice things, even though there was a foreign army just around the corner about to take them into captivity. The Apostle Paul, he describes these false teachers as having deceitful spirits who teach the doctrines of demons, also false brothers, false apostles, false witnesses, liars. Yet tragically, false teachers back then, today, have always had a massive hearing. Why? Because most people do not want to hear the truth. Most people do not want to hear the truth. They prefer to listen to what is pleasant and flattering and makes them feel good about themselves, even if it's false. Because after all, who wants to hear the truth if it's unpleasant and uncomfortable, maybe even condemning? So if there's something wrong about you or me, about my character, and someone was to come and point that out and tell me, I wouldn't really want to hear that. If someone was to say, Wes, I've noticed you're incredibly selfish. Even though that may be true, I would not enjoy hearing that. Back to Jeremiah, he says, when these false prophets speak lies, this is what the people do. Listen to this phrase. They love it so. They love it so. The Apostle Paul was constantly warning young Christians not to be deceived with empty false words. Jesus himself said that there would be many and they would come even in his name, saying this, that, the other, and he warned them, don't follow them. John Wesley, the 18th century evangelist, described these false teachers as those who would murder the soul. So I think you're getting the picture. This is serious stuff. But surely if someone says they're a Christian and a Bible teacher and they love to talk about God, they love to talk about the Bible, they'll even heal people at times, that they can't be false teachers, surely. Jesus says, beware, they can. This is where we are to discern and judge, but well and wisely. Let's have a look at the next slide. Secondly, at the danger of false prophets, as if you weren't really already aware. Watch out, the same word for beware, always warning of danger. False prophets are more than wrong, they are dangerous. They're worse than a lion or a deadly snake who can perhaps even harm the body or maybe even kill you. These can kill the soul. Look how they're described, ferocious wolves. They're not naughty, cute puppies. Jesus couldn't be clearer. And as he was preaching, everyone listening would have known back then and the terrain that they lived in that wolves were the most common natural enemy of sheep. They were renowned for being merciless and ferocious, quickly attacking and killing any sheep, but also clever and wily and always looking for a new victim. Look again at verse 15, the picture Jesus is painting for them. That there's a flock of friendly sheep out in the fields. But lurking in the woods behind them is a wolf. And sheep are starting to go missing one by one. That's how deadly dangerous it is. In the little letter of Jude, he gives a strong warning against false teachers, telling young Christians how to respond to them, interestingly, in this way. Keep yourselves in God's love. So how can we be protected from false teachers? Keep ourselves in God's love. Get near Jesus, the good shepherd. Get in his sheep pen, because he sleeps across the door. He protects and he guards our hearts and souls. How do we do that? By just listening to anyone and everyone on the God channel and on the internet? By rushing off to the most spectacular sounding Christian conference who promises so much and more? No. By getting alone with Jesus regularly. Getting God's word out. More than that, studying seriously. Not just, oh, I've read my verse for the day. I've had my thoughts. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, great. No. Getting in the Bible seriously, taking time, studying it. Especially if you're listening to other preachers, checking what they're saying is right and true. Getting serious with friends who love God's word. Getting in small groups. Letting God's truths feed you, bless you, instruct you. Getting accountable with friends concerning your regular praying and Bible reading. You may think this is a big list. It is. Because this is really serious. Getting with God's family regularly but closely. Who do the wolves attack? We've seen it. You watch those programs of safaris as well in Africa, and not just wolves. But they attack those that are on the fringes of the flocks and the herds. Are you on the fringe of your church family, if it's here or elsewhere? Are you on the fringe of it? Be careful, because you'll be easy pickings. Can you ask yourself this question? How many other Christians know me well enough to be able to check up on me and speak truth into my life? Do I have a number of Christians, if I'm not around for a couple of weeks at church, they go, oh, sorry, missed you. Are you okay? Where were you? Have you got people that'll say, oh, how are you getting on with your prayer life? What are you reading at the moment? Because if not, you're making yourself vulnerable. You're making yourself easy pickings to these ferocious wolves. Jesus later is going to warn that these false prophets would come and lead people astray onto the broad road that leads to destruction. Even, he says, deceiving the elect, God's family, if that were possible. Because they are so convincing. How would you describe then a false prophet if we look at the next slide, please? I mean, what does a false prophet look like? Footage of the bomber on Monday night was released early this morning. It showed that he looked what? Just like someone his age would, blending in with the crowd. No witnesses have come forward and said, oh yeah, there was this guy and I saw him and he was so obvious and he had this big sign above him saying terrorist. No. He wanted to blend in. Why? So that he could cause tragically, wickedly, as much carnage as possible. Remember this picture Jesus is painting to the people gathered. There's a flock of sheep. They're completely unaware that there's a ferocious, cunning wolf lurking in the woods behind them. He doesn't dart out and grab hold of the first sheep and say to it, hi, I'm a wolf, can I eat you? No, Jesus says this one dresses up as a sheep. Now, must have looked hilarious, but nonetheless, however ridiculous, the sheep were taken in. So imagine that the wolf running out dressed in sheep's clothing and goes to, bah! No, sorry, I've got a bad throat. Bah! Can I join you? Can I eat your grass with you? Ugh, this is disgusting. And one by one, the wolf invites them back to his place. And one by one, they go missing. And the more gullible the flock are, the longer it will take them to notice. But surely sheep wouldn't be taken in, would they, by a wolf in sheep's clothing? Come on. Oh yeah, they would, because sheep are stupid. Who are you and me often likened to in the Bible? Lions, tigers. No, sorry, dumb old stupid, easily deceived sheep. That's you and me. We can see things and we can laugh at them. Let's have a look at the next slide. That is literally available for you to buy from some church. I won't name it. If you've got $49, it's a bit of a giveaway where it's coming from. But if you want to invest in that, because these bottles of oil, special holy oil, they have been anointed and prayed over by the great holy man. And if you can just get your hands on this and the way you pour it and what you do with it, you will just receive miraculous blessing in your life. And we laugh at it and we think this is stupid, this is nonsense. But it's so successful, the preacher's flying off in his private jet to go to another gullible audience to try and sell his holy oil. I mean, how do they get away with it? Because they look so convincing. They're always so pleasant and they always have an amazing smile. They get so excited about the things of God. Wow, you've got to listen to them. I mean, if you listen to these guys, if you've been on the internet, if you watch the God Channel, they are master communicators. I mean, I can send you to sleep in seconds. Boy, you sit up and listen to these guys. They will tell you that God loves you. Amen. They'll tell you he cares about you. Amen. They'll tell you he wants the best for you. Amen. They'll tell you promises from the Bible that are real and available. Amen. They'll tell you that God made you in his image. Amen. They'll tell you that you are unique and God has plans for you. Amen. Plans not to harm you. Amen. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen. Amen. So what's wrong with all that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's the problem. They share God's truths. They quote from the Bible. They're eloquent. They dress a lot better than me. Some of them are very highly educated. They've got so many letters and doctorates after their name. It's not what they say often. It's what they don't say. They tell you half the Bible. They tell you half the truths about God. And what are half of the truths about God? What is half of the Bible only, always? Lies. They tell you that God loves you, but not that he's angry with the wicked every day. They tell you God cares for you, but not that you have fallen short of the glory of God and are wicked and sinful. They talk about heaven, but not about hell. They talk about God's promises, but not his judgments. They talk of God's patience, but not of his awesome holiness. They talk of God's hope, but not of our or anyone's hopelessness without him. They tell you God accepts you, but not that your sin offends him. They talk of Jesus' healings and care and compassion, acceptance of outcasts, but not that one day he will return as judge of all the earth, condemning all to hell who have not realized he is the only way, the truth, and the life, and that they have repented of their sin and put their trust in him. These are the ones that are responsible for taking the most dangerous, deadly, dangerous, damning services in our country that you could ever possibly go to. Let's have a look at the next slide. Funerals. Funerals in the UK are the biggest platform for false prophets. They are the single biggest reason, I believe, why most people see no reason whatsoever to do anything about their spiritual plight and ever getting right with God. Because what do most pastors, vicars, priests, whoever's taking these services say? about the deceased, despite maybe not even knowing them, not even knowing that they perhaps were disinterested with God, even utterly godless. Ah, they're in a better place now. And you know what? She may even be up there right now, smiling, looking down on us all here. It's utterly ridiculous. Full of false truths, lies. And if you've ever had to endure one of those desperately hopeless, appalling services, we can think the person at the front is quite frankly talking a pack of lies. Certainly not what Jesus taught. But you know what? People there who are not Christians, they lap it up. Oh, the vicar. The vicar was wonderful today. He spoke such kind, comforting, soothing words. Oh, to be reassured that Nan is in a much better place. She was ready to go, you know, just like the vicar said. She struggled on for years. Her time was up, but she's at peace now. It's really much better for her. Really? Seriously? Was she ready to meet her maker, the judge of all the earth? Is she now in a much better place? Has she repented of her sin and put her faith and trust in Jesus alone for salvation? Have you? Have you seriously done that? There's no broad and narrow road in false teachers' teaching. There's just one big, happy road where we're all off to heaven. I heard a guy who was saved out of one of those loving everyone, we're all going to heaven churches, who said, they were so loving, they would have loved me all the way to hell. Finally, just very briefly, next slide please. Verse 19 implies the horrific end that these false prophets are going to come across. The fire, God's judgment. There's verses before that speak about it, and the next verses especially. So I'm not going to deal with that because Rich has got that next week. But false teachers will be judged and found wanting and condemned most severely. You do know that I will be judged more harshly than you. And anyone who dares to stand up here and teach and proclaim God's words and to say, this is what the Bible says. God says that himself. That we who teach will be judged far more severely because it is a privileged position we're in. But wow, is it a responsible position that we're put in. So Jesus concludes with these final verses, 16 to 20, of how to watch out and how to identify these false teachers. And it's all to do with the fruit that they bear. What is the fruit of these false teachers? Well, the fruit is their life. The fruit is their character. The fruit is what we've been speaking about, what comes out of their mouths, their teaching. And Jesus is again asking us here to make judgments, to be on our guard, because later he will say, many, you'll look at this next week, many will come in my name. And they'll say, wow, Lord, but didn't we preach this sermon, that sermon? Didn't we even cast out demons? Didn't we even heal people? And I'll say to them, clear off, I never knew you. Now, his point to us is initially crystal clear and obvious. Because, of course, you can't get figs. Can you see there in the verses? You can't get figs. We know that from thistles. You can't get grapes from bushes. Which is true. But in the Middle East, where Jesus was preaching, there is a thorn bush, which from a distance looks remarkably like a vine. It has black berries on it, which look like grapes. There's also a thistle bush, which produces a flower that can be mistaken for a fig. So surely you can't judge the fruit from a mile away. You need to get up close, and you need to smell the fruit. Now, on your way out this morning, please don't come and sniff me, okay? But we need to be slow to follow and believe what Bible teachers are saying. But we also need to be slow to reject them. We need to test things carefully. George Whitefield, another 18th century evangelist, was once asked what a person was like, and his reply was, "I don't know. I've never lived with them." Now, that's not an open invitation for you to come and live with us, but you get the idea. Bible teachers' lives need to be examined. Do you see the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in them? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do their lives match up to Jesus' teaching in terms of what he's been sharing these last few months about righteous living? Issues to do with anger, issues to do with forgiveness, issues to do with lust and integrity and loving our enemies and so on. Do they love God's family passionately? Do they love God passionately? What are they like privately? Do you see that Jesus lives in them? What effect do they have on their listeners? On the church that with the other church leaders they lead? See, Jesus is not pulling any punches as he draws to a conclusion in this section. It's far too serious. And if he was here this morning, he would literally be saying, don't be gullible. Don't be so easily taken in. Be thorough. Don't just look at the headlines. Wow, did you hear? There's over 50,000 now that go to his church. God must be blessing it. Maybe. Maybe not. Remember, people love to hear nice things that'll make them feel better about themselves. It's interesting, Jesus was never a mega pastor, was he? As long and as further as his ministry went on, more and more left him and deserted him. Why? They didn't like what was coming out of his mouth. Now imagine having these apostles, Paul and John, as your church pastor. Oh yes, also Barnabas as well, as a Bible teacher. Imagine having them. Wow. Well, that's what the church in Ephesus had. Yet one of the most shocking verses to me in the Bible is where Paul is saying farewell to the church in Ephesus at the end of Acts chapter 19. And he tells them to beware. This is what he says. Surely after I've gone, surely after I've left you, wolves, false teachers, will come in from among you and will twist God's truths, and they will try to turn you away and get you on the broad road. So how do we avoid that? We get Jesus living in us deeply. We get his truths living in us. Are you relentless in your pursuit daily to love him and live for him more? To say like Paul in Galatians 2 there, my old life is crucified. It's dead. It's gone. And the life I now live, it's only ever with Christ in me. Christ who loves me. Christ who died for me. Christ who calls me to put all my faith in him. Let's pray. Lord God, would you make us aware? Would you make us wise people? Would you forgive us so often for being stupid sheep? For getting wowed and amazed at times at things that on deeper, further investigation are not true? Would you help us to examine what every preacher says, especially here at the Slade? Oh, Lord God, would you mold us? Would you melt us? Would you break us if necessary? But would you come in and fill us and your truths so that we will see false teaching a mile away? Lord, protect our church family here. protect our friends in Abbey Wood. Oh, please save us from wolves that want to come in and tear us apart. And Lord God, if we've never, never genuinely repented of our sin and put our trust in you, would you help us do that even right now? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close the service in a moment. The musicians are going to come forward. We're going to sing about the compassion of Jesus that he has for us. That's our Jesus. And every single one of us need his compassion. Not the compassion of these false teachers that will just say lovely things that will soothe us and make us feel better about ourselves, but that will speak truth into our lives. And Jesus showed, of course, he was the most compassionate person by even dying for us. After the musicians have led that, that'll be the end of the service. You might want to pray with Rich and Amy or Gavin, who are leading the music out here. You might want to chat about maybe some different teachers that you've come across and been wowed about and said, I'm not exactly sure. You might want to chat to me on the way out and say, well, I didn't really agree with what you said there. Good. Ask us. Be thorough. But let's do all that we can to make sure Jesus Christ is living in us deeply and his word and his truths. And please, there's no need to rush off. We've got refreshments as well. So hang around. Thanks, Rich.